Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Pesachim Chaf Beis. We are in Chaf Alfam and Beis. We're about halfway down in the Amud. We're going to start again from the two dafs, about a little bit less than halfway down. Amar Chizkiya. The Gemara over here is going to be taking us through a long and detailed discussion regarding the Isser of Chametz. How do we know that it's Asr Behana? You're going to find countless Pesachim in the Torah that describe Chametz as being Asr Be'achila. You're also going to find in the Torah that the person who eats Chametz on Pesach is going to be subject to a Curry's penalty, but there is no clear indication in the Torah. Chametz is also Asr Behana. So how do we know that that is so? So that is going to be our discussion over the course of the entirety of today. The discussion goes into tomorrow, as not only are we going to be discussing Chametz, but we're going to be discussing many other Yisurim as well. On the docket for today, in terms of the Yisurim that we're going to be discussing, we're going to be talking in addition to the Isur of Chametz, we're going to be talking about Nevela, Gidonasha Dam, Avram and Achai, and Shor Niskal. Okay, so a number of Yisurim that are going to be coming up over the course of today's daf. Some of them are Asr Ba'achila, some of them are going to be Asr Ba'achila and Asr Ba'ana. And how do we know? How do we know that the Torah also means to include Isr Ana as well? When it comes to those things which are Asr Ba'achila, how many of those items are actually Asr Ba'ana? So the list is actually very short. Asr Ba'achila probably what? Thank you. Thank you very much. The Isser Basar B'chalav stands out as being one of the Isseri Chila. It's also Asr Behana. And there are a couple of others that we're going to be discussing over the course of the upcoming Sugya. But again, the simple question is, how do we know? Where in the Torah does it indicate that there's also an Isser Achila and an Isser Hana? The Mishnah already told us that the Chametz is Asr Ba'achila Uvehana. Take a look at the Mishnah, the beginning of our parak, yesterday's daf. So the Mishnah, says in the opening of the second parak, Kol Shah Shemut Alechom Machal Abehim Lachay Lofos Amochal Anachri Umutar Banasa. So before the 6 hour comes about, says the Mishnah. Now again, the Mishnah, this is yesterday's daf, but the Mishnah itself doesn't mention which hour we're describing. Okay, good. That was the Gemara's discussion of yesterday's daf. But the Mishnah mentions that prior to the 6 hour, meaning during the 5th hour, so Chametz is Mutar Bahana. Avar Zmano, however, once the time comes by, meaning once we get to the 6 hour, Asr Bahana, so the Chametz is going to be Asr Bahana. And of course, it goes without saying that once you get to noon on Erev Pesach, and certainly for the duration of Pesach, so Chametz is going to be Asr Ba'achila Uvehana. Okay. So with all that stated, that opens up our discussion, and let's get underway. At the two dots, Amar Chizkiya Minan Chametz BePesach Shasr BeHana. Okay, so the question starts off now very simple and very basic. How do I know? What is the source in the Torah that tells me that Chametz is Shasr BeHana? Shenamar Lo Yeachel Chametz Lo Yebo Heter Achila. The Torah says Lo Yeachel Chametz. Yeachel is not only the Isser of eating, but on top of that also, it's the passive Isser as well. Lo ye'achel chametz. Look at Rashi over here. We went over the Rashi yesterday. Let's go over it again. It's very fundamental. Mi de karina lo ye'achel. By virtue of the fact that the Torah says ye'achel. Masha lo
ye'achel. Where are you up to, please? I can't find
the place. Chaf aleph amud beis, halfway down on the amud at the two dots.
Okay, thank you very much.
So lo ye'achel. So by virtue of the fact that the Torah says lo ye'achel, mashma lo yehebo heter, ha maybe li de shum achila. There cannot be any allowance by chametz, anything that even would lead to achila. Rashi continues to write b'stam hanos li de achila heim baos. Right, hano eventually is going to lead me to achila. Shalokech b'damim davar meichel. Because what you're going to do is that once you get hana, so the hana now is going to be monetized. You're going to turn it into some sort of value. And what are you going to do with that value? At least I know this by myself. You're going to turn it into food, and you're going to consume it. So the Torah's Isser regarding chametz is not only not to eat the chametz, but also not to get any kind of benefit where you could take that benefit and convert it into eating as well. That is Shitas Chizkiya. So it's by virtue of the fact that the Torah says lo ye'achel, as opposed to simply saying lo yochal. The Gemara makes this point very clear. We're back in the Gemara. Lo ye boheter achila. Time of the kasav rachmanu. Lo ye achel chametz halo kasav. Lo ye achel. Had the Torah not said ye achel in the nifal, So Hav Amina, I would have thought Isra Achilam B'mashma, Isra Hanal L'mashma. If the Torah just simply said Lo Yochal, the Isra, if it would have been framed Lo Yochal, only gives me an Isra of Achila, not an Isra of Hana as well. Good. So Shitas Chizkiah, we're going to be going over this numerous times over the course of today and tomorrow's daf. Shitas Chizkiah is that with the Torah would have just simply said, do not eat something in the binyan kal, in the regular construct, in the regular verb conjugation, in the binyan kal. So then that would have only been achila, and that would not have been hana'a. Upligi de Rabbi Abahu. Now on this, Rabbi Abahu argues on this very premise. The Amar Rabbi Abahu kamakum shenamar lo yochal, lo sochal, lo sochlu. So according to Rabbi Abahu, when the Torah says any way of writing not one is not allowed to eat, so that includes both achila and hana'a as well. In other words, the default setting of the Torah, according to Rabbi Abahu, is that when the Torah presents an isra of achila, incorporated in the isra of achila is both achila and hana'a. And how do I know that it's only Isra Achila and not Isra Na? Ad Shepar Lacha Kasuk Kader Shepar Lacha Benevela. If the Torah goes out of its way to say that the Isra is only limited to Achila and not to Hana'a, so then fine. So then the Torah is going to be changing the default. But short of that, the default is that the Isra of Lo Sochal, or any form of the Isra of Achila, Lo Yochal, Lo Sochal, Lo Sochlu, is coming to tell me both Isra Achila and Isra Ana as well. And now we're about to open up a long discussion in the Gemara. I already laid out which Isra we're going to be covering this morning. It sounds like what we have over here is an extraordinarily fundamental debate between these Amoraim, Chizkiah and Rabbi Abahu, in terms of what is going to be Asr Be'achila Uvehana versus what's going to be Asr Be'achila. I'm just telling everybody right now, as we're about to launch into a long discussion, it will take the remainder of today's daf and tomorrow's daf as well. There are not going to be that many nafkaminas that come out between the two of them. The machlokas sounds extraordinarily fundamental, but the actual practical differences are going to be extraordinarily limited. As we're going to go through each, we're going to go through a case-by-case study and see whether or not these Isuri Achila are Asr Be'achila and Hana, or just Asr Be'achila, and it's going to come out that, practically speaking, there's not going to be much difference between them. But We'll get to that at the end of the sugya. In the meantime, over here, what we sound like we have is a really fundamental debate in terms of what is incorporated within the Yisra Achila. According to Chizkiah, it's just Achila, not Hana. And according to Rabbi Abahu, it's Yisra Achila and Yisra Hana as well. So let's start off with Nevela, Shapar Lacha B'Nevela D'Tanya. So here we have a braisa detailing what is the Yisra of Nevela and whether it's Asr Be'Achila and or Asr Be'Hana as well. Nevela, of course, is when an animal goes on shechtin, and the animal dies without the benefit of a shechita. That animal now, the meat of that animal is qualified as nevela. It is usher min haTorah to eat. Torah writes as follows. The Gemara quotes the Braisa. D'tanya lo sochlu kol nevela. So the Torah says not to eat nevela. It's an isser d'oraisa l'gersher b'sherechet d'nena v'achla. So what do you do with your nevela? So you either, says the Torah, give it to the ger b'sherecha, you give it to the convert. Obviously, the Torah over here is not referring to a full convert. A full convert is bound and has to abide by all the mitzvahs of Torah. So over here, when we're talking about a ger, we're talking about a ger toshav, a resident alien who is not subscribing to the isurei Torah, but does make a pledge that he's not going to be oved avodah zarah. Right? That is Rashi's description over here of what a ger is in this context. So you give it to a ger, or you could sell it to a non-Jew. So the Torah goes out of its way to say that what you could do with a nevela is either give it to a ger or sell it to the nachri. Ainli ela leger benesino lenachri b'mechira. So the Bryce over here discusses and debates. Look, the Torah is very specific about the instructions of what to do with a nevela. Either give it to the ger or sell it to the goy. Leger b'mechira minayin. How do I know that I could sell it to a ger? Tamalon Mager Sheba Sherechet Enenu O Machor. Okay, admittedly, we are fiddling around a little bit with the comma in the Pasuk, but it's a drasha. And Bederech HaDrush, the Gemara now is darshaning, that I could either give it to the ger or sell it. Now, Lenachri Ben Asin Aminayin, how do I know that I can give it to the Nachri? So Tamalomer titnena va'achla o machor lenachri. Once again, it's just an adjustment of the comma in the pasuk. Nimseis omer echad geve echad nachri beim emechir beim nesina divrei Rabbi Meir. Shitas Rabbi Meir allows you to gift or sell it to a ger or to a nachri. Why does the Torah then go and give us what seemingly is very clear instructions, and meanwhile, you can gift or you can sell it to either the ger or the nachri? Stay tuned, the Gemara is going to answer that question. Anyway, that's Shitas Rabbi Meir. However, the Shitas Rabbi Yehuda Amar Dvarim Kichtzavam, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, read the pasuk and follow the instructions as per the pasuk. So the ger ben asil and nachri ben mechira. So the ger, you can give it to the ger or the nachri, you could sell it to the nachri. So my time at the Rabbi Yehuda. So now all this is going to come back to Rabbi Abba and Chizkiah, but let's just wrap up now, understanding this b'risa a little bit better. The basis of Shitas Rabbi Yehuda, Isak Adachi Kedama Rabbi Meir. If Rabbi Meir's reading of the pasuk is the accurate reading of the pasuk, Lich Devrachman Alagir Shibasharecha Tenena Ve'achla O Mechor. Leave out the O. O Lamali. Why does the Torah go and add an additional word where it could have just simply have put a vav in front of the word mechor, but instead it has the word O? Shema Minal Ledvarim Kichzavam. So Rabbi Yehuda's argument is that the Torah over here is very specific about its instructions. Either gift the nevela to a ger or sell it to a guy. Now Rabbi Meir will tell you, look, I also understand the significance of the word O, but I understand it differently. The O is coming to tell me my priorities. First, I should look for a ger and give it to a ger, and then if that's unavailable, then sell it to the guy. Rabbi Yehuda, ha lo tzarich kra. And Rabbi Yehuda says, I agree with that idea. I don't need a pasuk for that idea. Since the Torah is very clear that when you have a ger, when you have a ger toshav living in Eretz Yisrael, so there's a mitzvah satorah. Rashi quotes the pasuk in Parshas Bahar. Ger v'sosha v'chai imach. So there's a mitzvah l'achiyosa. We have to support the ger. So v'nachri, i'atamitzuva l'achiyosa. That's not true when it comes to a nachri. So lo tzarech kra. So therefore there's no need for a pasuk svaru. It's just a simple svara. So what Reb Meir's counter-argument is that what Rabbi Yehuda's counter-argument is that I don't need a pasuk to teach me priority, since it's already a basic svara that we have to support the ger. Good. So what we have now over here is a basic machlokes between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, how to understand the psukim's directive when it comes to once you have an avela. If you have an avela, so obviously you're not allowed to eat it. What do you do with it? So you either gift it to the ger or you sell it to a guy. And a machlokes tanaim in terms of whether or not you can gift it to the guy and or sell it to the ger. Now, Bisham, the Rameir Damar Echid Gevech and Achri Beim Mechir Beim Nesina Miditzur Kra, Le Mishri Nevela Bahana'a. So now, let's start off with Shitas Rameir. Rameir says that you can either sell or gift to either the guy or the ger. So that means now that we have a pasuk of the Torah that goes out of its way to tell me that it's Aser Bahana. Selling it obviously creates a hana. In other words, you're going to get money in exchange. Even gifting it creates a bit of hana. Because when you give something, even though we love to be altruistic, but at the same time, we can't ignore the fact that there is reciprocity. And there is going to be something on the return. So either way, whether I sell or whether I gift it, that is benefit. And what the Torah is going out of its way to tell me is that when it comes to nevela, you're allowed to get benefit. Ah, so what does that mean? It means that the default setting of the Torah is that there's an Isra Achila and there's an Isra Hana, and only when the Torah goes out of its way to tell me that there's a Het or Hana, so then that changes the default. That's exactly the Gemara's point. Ha'kol Yisurin Shebatorah, Yisurin Bein Ba'achila, Bein Ba'hana. Good. So that tells me now that the default setting of the Torah is that Isra Achila includes within it Achila and Hana. Good. And this obviously would be a fantastic support for Rabbi Abba. So now, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you see, Rabbi Yehuda over here, when it comes to the Nevela, the Torah is not giving an allowance for Hana'a. The Torah actually is telling us a very specific order of what to do. Meaning, according to Rabbi Yehuda, the Isra Hana'a, we assume there is no Isra Hana'a. It's just that the Torah is telling us, directing us, that look, here's what you do. First, look for a ger. If you find a ger, gift the nevela to the ger. And if you can't find a ger, so then you can sell it to a guy. That's the whole purpose of the Torah. Ha'kol Yisurim Shebatorah, Minale de Asurin Behana'a. So now the question becomes as follows. If I subscribe to Shitas Rav Yehuda, so where is the source now? Because it's not nevela. Where is the source in the Torah that tells me that the default setting of the Torah is going to be that there is going to be both an Isra Achila and an Isra Hana, and the Torah has to go out of its way to change the default. So the Gemara says, Nafkalei, so he learns it from a different source, meaning if you're Rabbi Abahu and you're subscribing to Shitas Rav Yehuda, so you have to learn from a different source, notably the source of Trefa. So Nafkalei Melekel Tashlichun Oso. So what happens if an animal is a Trefa? So again, let's just go over a basic definition. A Trefa is an animal that suffered a damage to one of its internal organs. The third parak of Chulin discusses extensively, 30 blot of Gemara about, over there in the third parak of Chulin, going over the anatomy of an animal and the exact conditions that would render an animal a trefa. Anyway, once the animal is a trefa, so then it is an isser min haTorah to eat the animal. What do you do with the trefa? The Torah is very clear here as well what to do with the trefa. The Torah says in Parshas Mishpatim, "Lekelav tishlechun aso." You can go ahead and you can feed it to your dog. Now that clearly is ana. By virtue of the fact now that you can take your trefa animal, which you can't eat, and you can give it to your animal, that's ana. So oso tamashlech lekelav via tamashlech lekelav kol isurin shebetorah. You can go ahead and throw the trefa to your dog, but you can't throw to him kol isurim shebetorah, any of the other isurim in the Torah. When the Torah describes any other Isser with the words of lo socha, lo yochlu, so you're not allowed to give that to your dog because the default setting is Isser Achila and Isser Hana. Rashi over here writes on the top of the Amud, as we now transition from Nevela to Trefa, Shenemar Behem, Rashi writes the top Rashi, Shenemar Behem lo socha kagon zel mid Isser chrala mishrei, meaning the Torah goes out of its way to tell me that I'm allowed to feed my dog the Trefa. Lo mazil amelef taima di ilav oso hava amina krala mitzvasa itzrich she'ein akash baruch hu mekapech schar kol birya. As far as the allowance of giving it to your dog, why not that serve as a model? Meaning, why doesn't that become now the precedent in which we see, oh, if I can give my trefa to a dog, so I can give any iser to a dog? The Gemara says no. The allowance to give the trefa to a dog, that is very specific to the schar that the dog receives. It sounds funny, but Rashi quotes, which Gemara is it in? I don't know. But anyway, but Rashi quotes, so it's a crush. In a kosh baruch hu mekapech schar kobiria. V'nemar b'mitzrayim lo yicharat kelev l'shono. L'ficha chikpida Torah litein scharo. V'nechbat schar kelev min ha'ove kocham shenevela yimkor l'nachri. And then, Rashi over here, really interesting, Rashi does a side-by-side comparison in terms of the schar the dog is going to receive, that above and over, that of a nachri. Meaning, in the previous system, when we talked about nevela, so you can take your nevela and you can sell it to the nachri. Mashenkin, when you have a trefa, you gift it to the dog. Okay. But the point of Rashi over here is that we can't use this pasuk to teach me a precedent regarding going in the other direction. Since we're allowed to give the trefa to the dog, maybe that means that any iser by definition is going to be mutter behana'a. So Rashi says no, because the allowance to give it to the dog is something specific to the dog. Anyway, so we're going in the other direction, which means that the default setting of the Torah is that unless the Torah says otherwise, there's going to be an iser ichila and an iser hana. Now, the Gemara continues. We're back in the Gemara. V'Rabbi Meir. Now, according to Rabbi Meir, meaning from Rabbi Meir, we already know the default setting of the Torah is that there's an Isra Achila and Isra Ana. So what is the Torah now coming to tell me by saying that you can go ahead and gift the trefa to a dog? And specifically in this scenario, what's the drusha according to Rabbi Meir that we learn from there? Because for a mare, we already know the default setting is Isra Achila and Isra Ana. That's the Gemara's question, as we're on the very top of Chav Beis Amad Aleph. For a mare, Osoa Tamashlich Lekelev, Yet Tamashlich Lekelev, Chulin Shenich Shchutu Ba'azara. So a mare says that the Pasuk over here, and specifically the Drush over here, is come to tell me that there's something that I cannot give to the dog, and notably Chulin Shenich Shchutu Ba'azara. How does that have any connection to a Trefa? So Rashi over here, I'm not going to read the Rashi inside, but Rashi over here points out that there is a relationship between chulin in the azara and that of trefa. Because the idea behind trefa is something that goes beyond its prescribed mechitza. The trefa is something that went beyond the boundary. Included in that are other isurim as well. Rashi gives the example an animal is shechvin, and there was a fetus in utero, the fetus itself becomes mutter, but during the shechita, or immediately right before the shechita of the mother, the fetus extends a limb outside of the out of the womb of the animal. So that dangling limb is going to be usser. That is an isser of yotzei. The isser of chulin sheba azara also is a bit of an isser of something that is not where it's supposed to be. If it's chulin, if it's a non-kodesh animal, and it's in the azara, that's also something that is not within its proper parameters. Anyway, so what we're darshaning over here is that chulin shenishchutu bazara, anytime they have a non-kodesh animal, shecht in the azara, that animal is going to be usser. And what kind of isser are we talking about? So it is going to be usser be'achila. But it's not going to be usser behana. The idach. Now the counter argument to that is chulin shenishchutu bazara lav daraisa. What do you mean? I don't need a drasha for chulin shenishchutu bazara. Chulin shenishchutu bazara is not a din daraisa. It's not iser daraisa. And this is a common debate that we find throughout Shas, meaning there is no explicit pasuk in the Torah that says that if I take chulin shechtin the azara, it is going to be in fact usser min haTorah. Now in the other direction, we know very clearly, meaning if I have a carbon that I shecht outside of the azara, so that's shchut echus. That a pasuk says beferish it that that's usser. But the inverse case where I take chulin shecht in the azara, that's not clear. So what the Gemara points is that this machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda over here as to what we're darshaning from the pasuk of Treifa, whether we're darshaning the chulin shenishchutu bazara or whether we're not, is just going to be a predicate of whether or not chulin shenishchutu bazara is going to be nisa daraisa or an Isser de Rabbanan. Okay, let's quickly recap. What we have right now in the Gemara is the very basis of this debate between Rabbi Abbahu and Chizkiah, and really we're focusing right now on Shitas Rabbi Abbahu. Rabbi Abbahu says that any time it says in the Torah not to eat, included in that is going to be an Isser as well. What is the source of Rabbi Abbahu? That the default setting is an Isser Achila and Isser Anah, and unless the Torah says otherwise. So we have two different approaches in terms of where the Maramakam is going to be, where the source of this halach is going to be. Either it operates from the Isser of Nevela, or it operates from the Isser of Treifa. Now, it only operates from the Isser of Nevela, but only if I subscribe specifically to the Shita of Rebbe Meir. Rebbe Meir says that what happens if you have a Nevela, an animal that died without the benefit of a Shita, so the animal is Aser Ba'achila, the Torah says, yes, that's true, but you can either sell or gift it to either a Ger or a Nachri. That's Rav Meir's understanding of the Pasuk. What comes out, according to Rav Meir, the Torah over here is changing the default setting. Default setting is that it's Aser Ba'achila Uvana, and here, the Torah goes out of its way to tell me that in this case, it's Aser Ba'achila, not Aser Ba'ana, which means that the default setting is that it's Aser Ba'achila Uvana. That is one way that Rabbi Abbahu arrives at his conclusion. Alternatively, if I subscribe to Rabbi Yehuda, so the pasuk over here is not changing the default. The Torah over here is telling me specifically how to handle the nevela. First look for a ger, gift it to the ger. If that's not available, then sell it to a goy. So this has nothing to do with the changing of the default setting. So then where is that? Where is the source according to Rabbi Abbahu if he subscribes to Shitas Rabbi Meir? Where's the source if he subscribes to Shitas Rabbi Yehuda? So the answer is going to be he learns it from Treifa. And then what would be the counter argument? Why wouldn't you be learning it from Treifa? Okay, the back and forth of whether or not you darshan chulin shenishchutu bazara or whether you don't. Admittedly, there's a lot to keep straight over there in terms of the cheshbon haGemara, but to put it succinctly, Rabbi Abbahu learns it either from Nevela or from Treifa, depending on which shitas tanaim we follow. Good. Meisiv Rabbi Yitzchak, we're now in Chav Beis Amud Aleph. We're continuing now in the Gemara's discussion. Because here we go. Because now we have the stage set. According to Rabbi Abbahu, anytime the Torah introduces us to an Isser Achila, it includes Achila and Hana, unless the Torah states otherwise. According to Chizkiah, no. Only by Chametz, where the Torah says Lo Yei Achel, does that both include Achila and Hana. But just Lo Sochal, or any form of that conjugated verb, is only for an Isser Achila, not for an Isser Hana. And so what the Gemara now is going to be doing is taking us Isser by Isser throughout all the Isseri Achila in the Torah, and test out which of these two positions seems to be more correct. So now we're introducing ourselves to the Issur of Gid Anasha. The Torah and Parshas Vayishlach, after the wrestling match between Yaakov and the Malach. So the Torah says Yaakov was injured. The Torah says Al kein lo yochlu bnei Yisrael is gidon asher. Now v'tanan. Shaleich adam yerech lenachri v'gidon asher b'sochem imeshem akamo nikar. Now we have a Mishnah. The Mishnah says that one is allowed to gift the yerech. You take the hind part of the animal that has the sciatic nerve running through the hind part, and you can give it to a you can give it to a nachri. And despite the fact that it has to get an usher in there, there's a chance that a Jew is going to see you do it. There is a chance that the Jew is now going to go ahead and buy it from the nachri. The Jew is going to think to himself, oh, there's no question that before the Jew sold it to the nachri or gifted it to the nachri, so he trapered it, he made sure he was menakir, he made sure to remove the Gidon Asher. We're not worried about such a circumstance in which the Jew then is going to buy from the non-Jew. I know it sounds strange, and just in general, the idea of a Jew buying meat from a non-Jew, but in this circumstance, you might have thought that the Chachamim would have such a concern. There is no such concern. That's the point of the Mishnah over here. Anyway, what comes out from all this is that the Jew is allowed to sell the hindquarters of an animal or gift it to a non-Jew. Clearly, there is a heter of hana'a. Now, the Torah says, Alkein lo yochlu. So now, according to Chizkiya, perfect. In other words, the Torah only says lo yochlu. Over here, there's an isser of achila. There is no isser of hana'a. And so, according to Chizkiya, it's absolutely perfect. But according to Rabbi Abba, what we have over here is a significant problem. Because according to Rabbi Abba, when the Torah says lo yochlu, or any version of the verb of achila, so it includes both achila and hana. And meanwhile, gidon asher is mutar b'hana. So that becomes a problem for Rabbi Abba. So kasav Rabbi Abba, kishahutra nevela, he, v'chelva v'gida, hutra. So Rabbi Abba's response is as follows. Yes, you're right. When it comes to the gidon asher, it is mutar b'hana. And I'll tell you why. Because really, when it comes to the Gidon Asher, it's included, it's incorporated within the heter of Nevela. When the Torah was Matir Nevela Bihana'a, so included in that is also going to be the Chalev and the Gid. The forbidden fats of an animal and the Gidon Asher, the animal as well. Now the Gemara says, now that's interesting that you're telling me that Gidon Asher is included within the heter of Nevela. Now the Gidon Asher, does it have taste or does it not have taste? Oddly enough, one of the most basic machloksim regarding the Gidon Asher. So if you say that the Gidon Asher has a taste, and so therefore I could say that the Gidon Asher is included in Nevela. It could be put into the category of Nevela. But if I subscribe to the view that Gid does not have any taste whatsoever, it's a tasteless item. Rashi over here, as the Gemara in Chulin does, compares it to a piece of wood. It's like biting into wood. So then if you're biting into wood, why is it asur? It's very simple. Because the Torah says it's asur. But it has no taste whatsoever. And if, in fact, the Gidon Asher, if you subscribe to this viewpoint that the Gidon Asher has no taste, so you can't really put it in the category of nevela. Nevela, by its very definition, is meat. Something that has taste to it. So the Gemara says, so if I subscribe to this viewpoint of ein begin menos ein tam, you can't really put it under the category of nevela. So the Gemara says, man shamas le'damar ein begin menos ein tam, Rabbi Shimon. So the Gemara says, okay, but that's not a problem, because who subscribes to that viewpoint that the Gidon Asher does not have any taste? So that is the Shita of Rabbi Shimon. And, Ditanya, we learned in a Braisa, Ha'ocha migid hanasher shal behema tameya, if a person were to eat the Gidon Asher of a non-kosher animal. So Rabbi Yehuda Mechayiv Shtayim, Rabbi Yehuda says that you're chayiv two times over. One for eating behema tameya, and two for eating Gidon Asher of said behema tameya. Rabbi Shimon says that it is potter legamre, meaning one is not violating Isser Torah, meaning Rabbi Shimon is not condoning the practice of eating the Gidon Asher of a non-kosher animal, but it does not fall categorically under either Isser. It's not an Isser of Behemah Tameah, nor is it Isser Gidon Asher. Why? Because according to Rabbi Shimon, the Gidon Asher is a tasteless entity. It's Ein Beginim and No Saint Tom. And so therefore, as far as Behemah Tameah is concerned, so the only time that you're violating the Isser Behemah Tameah is when you're eating something of the meat of the Behemah Tameah. The Gidon Asher is not the meat, it's just simply it's a piece of wood. As far as violating the Isser of Gidon Asher, it doesn't fall under the category of Gidon Asher, because Gidon Asher needs a contrast, meaning it has to be within an animal where you can eat the other parts of the animal. Since of the Behemah Tameah, I'm not allowed to eat the other parts of the animal, so it's not Usser from the standpoint of Gidon Asher. So the Gemara says, so that means to say now that Rabbi Shimon is of the opinion that ain beginim and no same time. Now hachinam dasar b'ana. It also happens to be that according to Rabbi Shimon, the Gidon Asher is also b'ana, the Tanya, and for that we have the following brayso: Gidon Asher mutar b'ana, div Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon oser. Actually, now it works out perfectly, since Rabbi Shimon puts the Gidon Asher in the category of ein beginim and no same time. It comes down now. We just walk through each step along the way. Comes down now that Rabbi Shimon would aser b'ana, and in fact he does. So now it works out that it works out great according to Rabbi Abo. That for Rabbi Shimon, who says that Gidon Asher ain't begidden, but no same time. So it comes down now that according to Rabbi Shimon, the Gid is Asur Ba'ana. However, according to Rabbi Yehuda, where the Gidon Asher has time, it has taste, so it's Asur Ba'achila, but it's not Asur Ba'ana. Why? Because according to Rabbi Yehuda now, it falls under the same category of Nevela, and just like by Nevela there's a Heter Hana, so too by the Gidon Asher there also is going to be a Heter Hana. Okay, works out great. Again, a lot of cheshbonos in the Gemara, I know. But it works out fine according to Rabbi Abo. Okay, as one of the machloksim go, we just mentioned it. It's a really strange machlokus as to whether or not the Gidon Asher has taste or does not have taste. What kind of machlokus is that? Meaning, you bite into the Gidon Asher, which of course we're not allowed to do, but if you bite into the Gidon Asher, just simply say, does it register any kind of taste or does it not? Meaning, right, there are other inedible parts of the animal which is not open for debate. And meanwhile, by the Gidon Asher, there's a debate. Okay, so it's certainly a strange machlokis, and generally speaking, as a Kabbalah, as a tradition of how to understanding machloksim, so they're having a machlokis about various svaras. But the idea that they're having a machlokis of mitzius, whether it has taste or whether it doesn't, so the truth of the matter is, it's already was bothered by the Rishonim in terms of how to understand this particular machlokis. But admittedly, it's a strange machlokis as it presents itself. We're continuing the Gemara now. So far, we tackled the Isurim of, I'm going to go in the order of the Gemara, Nevela, Trefa, Gid Hanasha. Continuing in the Gemara, Chav Beis Amad Aleph, halfway down, more than halfway down. We're now up to the Isur of Dam. V'arei Dam D'Rachman Amar Kol Nefesh Mecham Lo Sochal Dam. So the Torah introduces us to the Isur of not eating blood, Vitzanan. Eilav Eilam Atarvim Ba'am Aviyot Zalanachal Kadron Nimkarn Legananim Lezavo Umo'alim Bahem. The Mishnah over here that describes that when you have the blood of various karbanos, Rashi over here says we're talking about the chatzas hapnimi, whatever the case is, it's blood of a karban, where after the mitzvah's been done, so the azar is going to get flushed out, that blood now is going to go through one of the sewage pipes of the azara. It's going to go into the Nachal Kidron, the Kidron Valley. What happens now from that point forward is that sewage is going to be purchased by farmers, because the blood-rich water now that's coming out of the Azara is fantastic for fertilization. They do have to buy it. There's a din of Me'ila. It's a din of Rabbanan. Fine. But anyway, what comes out over here is that the dam is mutter b'hana. The dam is mutter b'hana. So once again, according to Rabbi Abo, it's a problem. Right, for Chizkia, all these issues that came up, Gidon Asher and Dam for Chizkia, it's no problem whatsoever. But for Rabbi Abba, it presents a problem, because Rabbi Abba taught us that the default setting of the Torah is that when the Torah introduces us to an Isra Achila, including that is an Isra Hana, this presents a problem for Rabbi Abba. The Gemara's response, Shani Dam Diskish Lamayim, we have a Hekesh that connects blood and water. Dichziv Lo Sochlenu, Al Ha'aretz Tishpechenu Kamayim. The Torah says that when it comes to blood, don't eat it. Poured on the ground like water. Ma mayim mutar maf dam mutar. Just like water is mutar b'ana, so too dam is mutar b'ana. Good. So we have a special drasha that tells us that blood is mutar b'ana. Ve'im ha-kamayim ha-misnaschim al-gabe ha-misbeach. Wait, the Torah is comparing it to water, that part I get. But what water are we talking about? Maybe it's the water of the nisuch ha-mayim on Sukkos, which obviously is usher. Ve'achilu v'ana. Am Rabbi Abau kamayim rov mayim. So Rabbi Abau says, well, that is true that some water is used for that purpose, but the vast majority of water usage in the world is used for consumption. So midi rov mayim tzivya, but that's not what the Torah says. So ela amar avashi kemayim neshbachim lo kemayim hanisachim. So but even in the pasuk that we just quoted in Parshas Re'eh, it says al arz tishpechenu kemayim, water that's poured. And the Gemara is assuming right now that there's a difference between water which is nishpach versus water that is libated, that is nisach. Ve'ema kamayim ha'nishpach mufnei avodah zarah. So the Gemara says, okay, so if you need the water to be poured, so why not compare it to water which is poured in front of avodah zarah, which is now going to be takrovis avodah zarah, which is now going to be aser behana'a. So the Gemara says, hasamnami nisuch ikrei. No, the Gemara says, that's not nishpach. That's nisach. How do I know that? The Pasuk says, dechtiv yeshu yaim nisicheim. Good. So we have a special drasha of the Torah that makes a hekesh between dam and mayim, teaching me that dam is mutter bahana. Good. That is now in defense of Rabbi Abao. Now that we defended Rabbi Abao, let's turn our attention back to Chizkiah. Ule Chizkiah, as we now turn to the Amud Beis. Ule Chizkiah l'may hilchasayit kishdam l'mayim. For Chizkiah, what's the purpose of the hekesh? We already know there's a heter hana'a, according to Chizkiah. So the hekesh is doing what? So lichid the Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, damar Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, amar Rabbi Yochanan. The hekesh is coming to teach me a different halacha. Notably, that of the halacha of Rabbi Yochanan, which we already saw back in the first parak two times over. This is now going to be the third time in Pesachim. We get to see the drasha of Rabbi Yochanan. Minayin l'dam kashin she'eino machshir. How do I know that the blood of karbanos are not going to be serving as a machshir? If that blood were to come into contact with any food, that food now does not become susceptible to tumah. Because even though dam is a machshir, but dam of karbanos are not a machshir. How do I know that? Shenemar lo soch lanu al arz tishbechenu kamayim. Dam shenishbach kamayim machshir, shenu nishbach kamayim eino machshir. Only blood that's going to be poured on the ground is considered a machshir. Blood that is not poured on the ground, i.e. the blood of a karban, is not going to be a machshir. And that is what Rabbi Chiya is going to be doing with that drasha, with the hekesh of dam and mayim. Good, so that covers now dam. We're up to now Aver Menachai. Vare Aver Menachai dechsev lo sochal ha-nefesh im ha-basar. The Torah says, do not eat nefesh im ha-basar, the iser of Aver Menachai. V'tanya Rabbi Nassan Omer Menayin shelo yoshid adam kos yayin l'nazir. V'Aver Menachai livnei noach. Kama lamar, lifnei Aver lo sitain michshol. So now, Aver Menachai, which is also not only for a Jew, but for non-Jew as well, one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nei Noach. So what you're not allowed to do with Aver Menachai is you're not allowed to give it over to a non-Jew. Because you're now going to be facilitating his eating of the Aver Menachai. It's otherwise known as the Isser of Lifnei Iver Lo Sitei Mechshol. So what does that mean? That you can't give it to the non-Jew. What can you do with Aver Menachai? Anything else. So Halaklavim Shari, you can give it to your dog. The only thing you're not allowed to do is not give it to a non-Jew because he too is bound by the Isser of eating it. And so therefore you're violating Lifnei Iver. But outside of that, you can give it to your dog. So now, why should Aver Menachai be mutter behana? And once again, this question is resting squarely on the shoulders of Rabbi Abao. Because Rabbi Abao says that when the Torah introduces any Isser Achila, it includes within it both the Isser Achila and the Isser Hana as well. So again, the Gemara says, Shani Aver Menachai, de itkish l'dam. So the Gemara says, yeah, but Aver Menachai, there's a hekesh between Aver Menachai and dam. Good. So we have a hekesh connecting Aver Menachai to dam. Just like by dam, we learned that it is mutter ba'ana. So to Aver Menachai is also going to be mutter ba'ana. Comes out now, if you're just following the thought process of the Gemara, it really now comes out to be a double hekesh. Meaning, how do I know, according to Rabbi Abahu, that dam is mutter ba'ana? So that we learned out from a hekesh from Mayim. So really, it's now a hekesh from Aver Menachai to dam. And then it's another hekesh from dam to mayim. Fine, a double hekesh. Uli Chizkiah l'may hilchasah ikish Aver Menachai l'dam. So now we turn our attention to Chizkiah. Chizkiah doesn't need the hekesh. Chizkiah already knew that Aver Menachai is mutter ba'ana, because according to Chizkiah, anytime the Torah says lo sochal or any version of that, it's only asur b'achila. It's not asur ba'ana. What is the need for the hekesh according to Chizkiah? Amlecha damu deitkish l'Aver Menachai. My Aver Menachai aser avdam Menachai aser. So the Gemara says the Hekesh is working in the other direction. That just like Aver Menachai is going to be aser, dam Menachai is also going to be aser as well. Any blood that is quote unquote leaked out of an animal is going to be aser. Ve'ezeze dama kaza shenefesh yosebo. Now let's say, for example, you're bloodletting an animal and out came a significant amount of blood, a life force amount of blood. So that is going to fall under the category of dam and nefesh, which is going to be just as usher as Aver Menachai. Okay, so that takes us through the drashas as understood by Rabbi Abao and by Chizkiah. Ve'hare, continuing in the Gemara Sharon Iskal, the Rechman Amar, lo yochal es bisaro. So what about Shor Niskal? Shor Niskal. So the Torah says, Lo Yochos Basar, one is not allowed to eat its basar. And the Vitanya Mimasha Shinemar Sakhol Yisakala Shor Ein Yodea Shihi Nevela Venevela Asura Beachila. Now the Shor Niskal, let me just back up for a second. What is Shor Niskal? An animal that gored a person and gored that person to death. That animal now is going to be judged by a Beis Din and be put to death through skila. This is the resulting shor haniskal. And what can you do now with the animal that has underwent the skila process? And the answer is nothing. You can't eat it. Lo yachal es besaro. And we learned in a brisa. Now, by virtue of the fact that we're going to put it to death through skila, obviously that by definition it means it's a nevela. Asur ba'achila umatam alam lo yachel magi l'chal kasev sheim shachto la'achas shenigmar dino asur. So what the Torah is coming to tell me is that, let's say after the gemar din, after the Beis Din has paskin that this animal is a shor niskal, and before we got a chance to do skila, let's say with that we shechted it right there and then, so it's going to be asur ba'achila v'ana. Ein li ela ba'achila v'ana minayin tam alam raval ashor naki. The Torah says ubal hashor naki. My mashma. Now, how from that phrase do we know that the shor niskal is going to be usur be'achila and be'hana'a? So Shimon ben Zama Amar ka'adam shomer lechaver yotzeploni naki minachasav ve'ein lo behem hana'a shoklum. So it's like the expression when people say, you know, that person is free of his possessions. So too the owner of that shor. So once the shor is going to be paskin by a basin to be a shor niskal, so the owner is totally free of that animal. Financially free of that animal, meaning the owner can get no benefit from that animal whatsoever. Even if somebody were to come along and shech that animal, the owner can't eat it, the owner can't get any kind of benefit from it whatsoever. Time the custom of Al Shor Naki, the E, Milo Ye Achel Isra Achila Mashma Isra Nala Mashma. Now, an important correction. The Torah says, Lo Ye Achel Es Bisaro by the Shor Niskal. Now, that's an important correction, and that means to say that it should be that it's Asr Ba'achilo Vahana, both according to the positions of Rabbi Abao, and even according to the position of Chizkiah. Right? By Chametz, it says Lo Ye Achel, and that teaches me Isra Achila and Isra Na. Over here, by the Shor Niskal, the Torah says Lo Ye Achel, so that should teach me the Isra Achila and the Isra of Hana'a. Now, the problem is that that's very good, because the Shor Niskal is Asr in both Achila and Hana'a. The problem is that we darshaned it from the extra phrase of the extra phrase of Uval Ashur Naki, both according to Rabbi Abao and according to Chizkiah. I don't need the extra phrase, just by virtue of the fact that Torah says Lo Ye Achel, that should be sufficient. So La Olam Lo Ye Achel Isra Achila V'Isra Na Bashma. So the Gemara says like this. Yeah, Lo Ye Achel is there to teach me about the Isra Achila and the Isra Na, as both Amoraim are arguing. Uval Ashur Naki Lahana'as Oro Hu Da'asa. That extra phrase is coming to tell me, not only is there going to be an Isra Achila, Isra Na on the meat of the Shor Niskal, but even on the hide as well. Look, the Torah says that one is not allowed to eat its Bisar, which means that the Isra of the Shor Niskal is limited only to the Bisar, not to the hide. Kamash Malan. So the Gemara says the Chiddush is over here, that it includes the hide as well. Ulahanach Tanai. The mafkile lahaykra ledrasha achrina lechatzi kofer ledmei vlado sanas orim inaluhu. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you know there are other tanaim who, from the expression bal hashor naki, learn out other halachas. Chatzi kofer, the idea that if the animal is it killed another person, that there is no payment of kofer. Kofer only comes about when the animal is a shor hamuad. Then and only then is there a kofer payment, paying the value of the victim that was killed, or the halacha of Demei Vlados. So that also is learned out from Bala Shor Naki. So if I subscribe to either of those positions, where am I going to learn out that the or is going to be Asr? So Nafkale Me Es Bisaro, Es Hatafel Libisaro. The word Es is a ribui, and it's coming to include that which is secondary to the meat, which of course is the hide. And the counter argument to that is that we don't darshan the word S. And whether or not we darshan es or we don't darshan es, so that is a classic debate that occurs throughout Shas. Get the time we learned in the Braisa. Shemin amsuni v'amrila nechemi amsuni ayadorish kol esim shebetorah. So every es in the Torah is going to be darshan. Kevin shehigia, or at least this was the proposal of Shimon HaMsuni. And then he got to a pasuk in the Torah where you cannot darshan. Kevin shehigia le'es Hashem lokecha tira piresh. But he got to es Hashem lokecha tira, that you have to have yiras HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And now what is the es coming to include? Right? It can't include anything. So at that point in time, so what he did is he took his thesis and he just simply, he let it go. Amar lo tamid of Rebbe kol esim shebetorah matei aleihem. Okay, but you had a good thesis going, and you darshan all the esim, and you did so successfully, and now you hit a snag, and now for that you're gonna give up on all your other drashas. Amar lahem kishem shekabalti tzchala chishakach ani mekabel tzchala prisha. And his response is, yeah, that's correct. I'm gonna give up all the other esim in the Torah. I'm gonna give up all the other drashas, and my interest over here is to get to the emes. And if the emes forces me to give up on my chiddush, I give up on my chiddush. No, it's not a big deal. Achaba Rabbi Kiva Darshes Hashem Lokecha Tira LaRabos Tamidei Chachamim. Es Hashem Lokecha is coming to include Tamidei Chachamim. So in other words, Rabbi Kiva comes along and salvages the drashas in which you could darshan the word es. It's coming to include Tamidei Chachamim. You fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and as a secondary, also those who are Tamidei Chachamim, who are representing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in this world, represent HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Torah in this world. Okay. Adkan will stop over here, and we finish up today with Shor Nisko. Tomorrow we begin with Arla. Okay, let's quickly recap our daf today. In terms of review, it's actually pretty straightforward. It's really organized. As far as the daf is concerned today, so we went over the machlokas between Chizki and Rabbi Abbahu, a very basic machlokas in terms of when the Torah introduces us to an Isser Achila, what is incorporated within that Isser. According to Chizkiya, only the Isser Achila, not the Isser Ana. According to Rabbi Abbahu, both the Isser Achila and the Isser Hana. It sounds like an extraordinarily fundamental debate, which would result in many nafkaminas. Right now, to date, as we have now concluded today's daf, we have not yet arrived at a single practical difference between Chizkiya and Rabbi Abbahu. We went through the following examples today of those things which are Asur Ba'achila, Nevela, Asur Ba'achila Ba'mutar Ba'ana. And again, for Chizkiya and Rabbi Abbahu, the balancing of how do we arrive at that conclusion, that's the details of today's daf. But anyway, the Isser of Nevela, which is Asur Ba'achila, but not Ba'ana. The Torah goes out of its way to tell me that I'm allowed to get benefit from it. Treifa, it's Asur Ba'achila, but it's not Asur Ba'ana. The Torah goes out of its way to tell me I can feed it to my dog. The next Isser we covered, it was Gidanasha. Asur Ba'achila, not Asur Ba'ana. Again, all this bodes well, very well, for the Shita of Chizkiya. How is Rabbi Gabbau going to explain it? Good. That's the details of today's daf. But anyway, the conclusion is that Gid HaNasha is Asur Ba'achila, but not Asur Be'Hana'a. And there is a Shita that says that the Gid HaNasha is Asur Be'Hana'a. That's Shita's Rabbi Shimon, but we don't, that's not the Shita we follow. And it happens to be that Rabbi Shimon's Shita works out well within finding a defense for Rabbi Abbahu. But again, that's a detail. Go back to the daf to see that inside. The Isser of Dam, Asur Ba'achila, not Asur Be'Hana'a. Why is the Dam not Asur Ba'ana according to Rabbi Abbahu? So we have a Hekesh to teach us that. Avram and Achai, I'm going in the order of the Gemara. Avram and Achai, this is on the Amud Beis. Avram and Achai is Asur Ba'achila, but not Asur Ba'ana. Now you can't give Avram and Achai to a guy, but that's because of the Isser of Lifnei Avram Losite Mechshol. But you can give Avram and Achai to your dog, so it's Mutar Ba'ana. So how does that work according to Rabbi Abbahu? So again, the Gemara says it's a Hekesh. Shor HaNiskal. Shor HaNiskal is Asur Ba'achila and it's Asur Ba'ana. Both according to Rabbi Abbahu and according to Chizkiya, the Torah says Lo ye achel es bisaro. So the way the Torah phrases it, it sounds like it's Asur Ba'achila uvahana. The only problem with that is that we have an additional phrase of ubal hashor naki. What do I do with that additional phrase? So the simple answer is it comes to include even the hide of the shor niskal. That the hide is also going to be asur as well. Okay, so far today, what we have is a fundamental debate between Rabbi Abbahu and Chizkiya, but yet no practical difference between the two of them. The Isurim have been covered are Nevela, Trefa, Gidanasha, Dam, Avram and Achai, and Shor HaNiskal. And for each of these Isurim, so far we have agreement in terms of which are Asur Ba'achila and which are Asur Ba'ana.